Brendan, to this week's, today's episode of To The Half. I'm your host, Matthew Long, and I'll be joined in today by a very special guest, author and sports personality, Kevin Crest. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing just fine.
Sounds great. We are going to preview and break down the national championship game. That's the college football playoff national championship game that will be tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Some of you are listening to us live here on Blog Talk Radio, and some of you are actually watching live on YouTube Live. So we appreciate everybody that has tuned in to our show today to listen to what we have to say about this this national championship game. And it's the first rematch in the playoffs since the playoffs have come about. So it's a little bit of some wonder. Last year was probably one of the worst rated national championship games, and a lot of people seem to think it was because of the regional basis of it. It's very regionally located. Here in Tampa, it's nice for the two teams because I think it's like an 8-hour drive from South Carolina and like 10 or 11 from Tuscaloosa or 10 from other parts of Alabama. So it's a short drive for most of them. I know throughout the week at media days and at the fan events, there's been a really good showing of not only Alabama fans and Clemson fans, but college football fans in general. We know Florida is a very transient state. I know, Kevin, you lived here before too, here in Tampa too, it is something that is it makes it great for events like this. To have the national championship game here in Tampa, to have had games like the Super Bowl, the World Series, things like that in Tampa, really shows why Tampa is great to hold events. Like even BOP was here 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, to host events here in Tampa. But we're going to break down this game for you today between Clemson and Alabama to kind of give you guys a breakdown of what kind of to expect and which directions we see it going here. I know, Kevin, you haven't had a chance to come down here to Tampa. You weren't able to come down here for the media days and events. What have you noticed, though, as far as some of the broadcasts and stuff that you've seen for this game so far? What do you think of the presentation and stuff, at least, as of
No, it's fine. I haven't watched a lot. It's you know, I haven't watched a ton because it gets so overdone. I mean, we've been looking at these two teams as potential opponents in a rematch. Gosh, Matthew, probably all season long. They've been the top two teams since, I don't know, probably the beginning of the season when you think about it. I had picked Clemson in August. And in my blog the other day, I picked them again. I said Clemson in August, Clemson in January. I'm going to stick with my pick. I'm not 100% confident, obviously, because they're up against a very, very good football team. But I think there's just some factors. But from the media perspective, I mean, all you can say is what you can say. And a lot has been said pretty much constantly about this game the last week and even before that. So I tend to like to concentrate more about between the lines, but I haven't heard anything particularly unique for the most part. So, it is what it is. I know ESPN is down there today. They're all over the place. But you mentioned something about Tampa. It's such a great place to have this game because they're so familiar with hosting big events, whether it be Super Bowls or Final Fours. And the Rays were even in the World Series a few years ago. So you have that, all of that experience. They've had Final Fours. They've had regional, March Madness. When I was there, I went to NCAA tournament one year. They had the sub-regionals there. It was awesome. They just know how to put on a show. And in fact, my sister and her family are down there. Her daughters went to Clemson, so they blew into town on Saturday and were asking me places to go to eat, even though I haven't been there in a while, but gave them some recommendations. So it sounds like a really fun time. Both fan bases can get there, as you mentioned. They can get there easily. And they are there. I'd imagine it's pretty crazy. I would love to be there. I'd imagine there's a lot of red and a lot of orange walking around the streets of Tampa.
Well, the one thing I can tell, I've appreciated most of it. I wasn't able to make it out to the Usher concert last night, but I went to the Flo Rida concert. It's if you go over to, I don't know if they're still up on Instagram because those are gone after 24 hours, so it's probably gone from there. I'll upload some of that stuff over on the other social media, but Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that. If you go over there, I have photos, I have videos and stuff that I put up there. They put on a great concert. I'm guessing they probably put up, just the stage setup alone is over 100,000 easily. Great setup there. The way they had things going, James Bell, he is one of our football contributors, as well as our main photographer and the boxing editor for us. He has some awesome photos and stuff up there. I think some of them are going up on the Cold Hard Truth on Sports website. Yep, actually just published just here at noon. It was scheduled to go out at noon. So that's up over on the website. So you can see some of the past uniforms of the schools, some of the media events and people that we've ran into since them being here in town. It's been fun, but I just haven't appreciated the other night. It was 26 degrees here in Tampa, just right around the end of the concert. I know it was 26, and then down to around 35 last night. So having the cold weather down here is probably not the ideal situation. It's probably not what most of these Alabama and Clemson fans and just anybody really had planned when they planned on a event in Tampa.
I'd imagine not, although the time of year it gets a little dicey, but I suspect it's nicer today. I know that in our neck of the woods, it's warming up today, and we have snow over the weekend. So, but you know, both these fan bases come from places they can get chilly. So I think they'll get over it. Hopefully, the game will be an entertaining one. And Raymond James Stadium is one of the, even though it's interesting. You think of it, I always think of it as new, but it's not. It's been around now for 20 years. So, but it is it's still a really really nice stadium and a great place to watch a football game.
And it's and you haven't even seen the upgrades on the scoreboards. The new scoreboards are massive. Some of the largest that are out there, all HD LED scoreboards on each end. They got other large monitors and stuff up in the corners. The new strip LED screens that go all the way around the stadium. So what they have there as far as entertainment presentation and stuff like that, it's been a really, really big upgrade as far as that goes. I'm just waiting to see how long it's going to be before what new upgrades they'll make here after this season, because I know Tampa's really biding for another Super Bowl. And they keep putting their name in the hat, but it seems like the NFL wants to see Super Bowls in new stadiums rather than upgraded stadiums. So it'll be interesting to see what they do to improve it even more moving forward. So let's get into we're almost at the halfway point for the show. Let's go ahead and get started breaking down these two teams. As we know, Alabama has had some big changes in some respects with the departure of offensive coordinator Lane Kiffin heading down to Florida Atlantic University to be the head coach down there. His kind of peculiar, but just right along the lines of Lane Kiffin, exit from another team or program, being basically, they said, come to an agreement that he wasn't going to be the offensive coordinator in the national title game. Only a day after they secured up their spot to be in the national title game. What's your thoughts on Lane's departure? Do you think it was mutual? What kind of impact do you think it's going to be?
Well, I on my blog, I don't think you put this one up on the whole Cold Hard Truth on Sports, my latest take on it last week, and that's on my Beyond the Commentary blog. But, you know, I look at it more from a distraction perspective for the team. I know Nick Saban has everything buttoned up, but you know, Jalen Hurts is, you call him a freshman, but he's still a first-year player. This is his first championship experience, and frankly, Alabama didn't exactly light it up against Washington in the semifinal. And I think that there must have been something that happened there. And I'm on another radio show, Lou in the Morning, on a station actually is in Alabama, so we get a lot of SEC Alabama Auburn perspective on that program. And you know, Steve Sarkisian came in ostensibly to be the new offensive coordinator. They knew Lane Kiffin wasn't going to be back after his contract expires the end of this month. He took the FAU job. I think Saban's happy for him to do that. And you know, Saban and Kiffin, I'm not sure, always saw eye to eye. And I think that the subpar performance of the offense against Washington just prompted him to say, you know what, maybe you're too distracted. And, you know, I don't think the public statement is all that far off. I mean, they both said, you know, it's hard to do both of these things, you know, recruit and take a new job while managing an offense for national championship game. And Sarkisian's, you know, he's in there. He's been there. Now, he hasn't called plays. He hasn't done that, but he's an experienced coach. He's an experienced offensive coordinator. And I think you and I talked offline about the fact that they both come from the Pete Carroll tree. They've coached together briefly at times. I don't see it as a big deal necessarily scheme-wise and that way. But I do see I can't help but believe it had some impact a little bit on the preparation for the game because it just happened a week ago. And so yeah. I think there must be some distraction, and you know, Saban doesn't like any distractions. He likes to manage every last thing, and that's not a knock. That's an incredible compliment. I'm a manager myself. I have a large staff that I manage. I know how difficult it is to dot every I and cross every T, and he does a really good job of it. So, but I still think there's some distraction there, a holdover from that, and we'll have to see tonight how well that offense can perform against what is really becoming stellar defense. I mean, Clemson absolutely shut down Ohio State last week. That wasn't even a ball game, and Clemson has some real playmakers. I mean, they have some people that can absolutely come off the edge and make some plays. So I think they're going to give Hurts some looks that he hasn't seen. It's going to be hard for Alabama to give Deshaun Watson looks he hasn't seen because they played last year, and that's a big advantage I think that Clemson has, is that Deshaun Watson has played Alabama and Jalen Hurts hasn't played Clemson. And
yeah,
Steve Sarkisian hasn't called a game against Clemson. And so and Venables has called a game against Alabama. So I think there's some intangibles that might work to Clemson's advantage tonight.
You know, I think it was a Times article. It probably didn't help too much because in the interview, the reporter was going with him house shopping. It's a really good article. I'll send it over to you, but he wasn't super complimentary about his time in Tuscaloosa, a small city. He felt, you know, confined. It was tough dealing with somebody that has a personality type that's completely polar to his own. A lot of stuff like that. So I'm sure with some of that drawing forward. Also, I understand that they're from some of the sources that told me that Saban was kind of upset because some of the new coaching staff and recruits and stuff were coming to Tuscaloosa to meet with Saban and his coaching staff, and they were interviewing coaches there, and they were interviewing coaches in Atlanta. So he was doing other work around him, and I just don't think it's kind of like maybe Saban just felt like, well, now I'm the side job, you know, he's just whatever, trying to get out of here. You'd like to think if you worked hard to get to a national championship game, you would want to finish it. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's not uncommon for Saban to exit like this. But as far as the game plan go, Steve Sarkisian, you know, obviously he's been a play caller at Washington, at USC, so it's not odd for him to be calling the plays. But since he's been with Alabama in September, he's been an offensive analyst, so he hasn't been in the meeting rooms for the game planning. He's been on the practice field and coaching in a limited capacity, and really hasn't had much interaction with Jalen Hurts. So I think that is where some of the deficiencies could come in. But I think the big difference, because I was talking with the defensive coordinator Venables at Media Day, and, you know, it's 7 days, but really he only has about 4 days to do that. So you're not going to see a new game plan. It's going to be the same. It's the same stuff. You can't change much in, you know, 4 to 7 days. But what he can do is add a little bit of different wrinkles. And the big difference is going to be in his decision-making or how he plays calls. And I know I asked, and a lot of other reporters asked, you know, oh, so you're going to go back and look at game film from Washington and SC. He's like, yeah, we'll go and look at it. But what a man did at that one point of time in his life, and the decisions he made then and the decisions he make now aren't necessarily the same or similar. He's obviously had a lot of life changes, and that probably could affect his decision-making as well. So I don't look to see it being a huge hindrance, but if we start to see some issues with, looks like, a breakdown in communication in the offense, that could be part of it there. That's where I only see the drop-off. The defense should probably still be stellar, and that's really what Nick Saban has won championships on, is his defense.
Well, in this season, I mean, I was just getting ready to comment, too, that you know, the defense has bailed Alabama's offense out to a certain extent, at least on a window dressing standpoint. So as you look at Alabama and you go, wow, look at those scores, right? You know, look at how they've soundly beaten what are supposed to be pretty good teams. But it's not the offense scoring a lot of those points. I mean, Alabama's defense has actually outscored the opposition's offense, so or it's pretty close. And so, you know, I was at the game at Arkansas when Alabama won 49-30. Arkansas put 30 points up on them because the defense wasn't getting turnovers. And you know, Alabama just pretty much wore the Hogs down in the second, third quarter. So I think it's a little bit deceiving. And you know, if people want to look at my blog, the Beyond the Commentary, and I'm sure you might end up posting this on your site sometime today as well. You know, Alabama wanted diminished SEC. I don't buy this. You know, they said today that when they played them, 9 of Alabama's opponents were ranked. But that included Ole Miss, who didn't even finish at 500. That included Arkansas, who ultimately fell to 7-6. That includes Tennessee, who also fell out of the rankings, lost 3 in a row. That included Texas A&M, also fell out of the rankings. And so it also includes a Florida team that, you know, I saw that game as well here in Arkansas, and that was not a really good offensive team. That's a mismatch all the way around. Although Florida did end up playing a good bowl game, but did beat LSU before the end of the season. Yeah. But still, you know, LSU didn't exactly have a great offense either. So shut out by Alabama, Florida, you know, held them to a touchdown less. So I don't buy this that the schedule was all that great. And ESPN has Alabama's strength of schedule as number one, and I don't buy that because there's a lot of softness in that schedule this year.
So so you're buying into my schedule, my scheduling theory now, right? That they padded. It's a bit padded.
I think that it just was the circumstances around the schedule this year that they didn't have to play. Well, number one, the SEC East was really down. I mean, you didn't have a really strong team, although the playoff committee seemed to really like Florida and they really liked Auburn, although I don't think either of those teams was particularly great. They all padded. I'm not buying into that. I just think that it looks really good that they beat USC because USC ended up winning 10 games in a row to end the season, including an exciting game against Penn State in the Rose Bowl. But that USC team that they pounded wasn't even close to the team that ended up rebounding later on because they changed quarterbacks and all that. So I'm not saying Alabama's not a really good football team. The heck, they're one of two of 128 teams standing, right? I mean, they're a very good football team. I just think that Clemson, if you compare them, I think Clemson has a comparable record and a comparable eye test and accomplishment this year, especially once they started paying attention. But that's my statement. I just feel like there's this aura. And I live in an SEC West town. I mean, my wife works for the University of Arkansas. I'm as familiar. I'm pretty familiar with the Arkansas program. My nephew plays on the team. So when it comes to SEC West, I'm not exactly necessarily objective. But this year, really, in a blog, I even point out Alabama's the only SEC team that had less than four losses. This was not a strong league this year, and it didn't have strong teams. And so that's why those scores are a little bit lopsided, that Alabama was just able to pound them. Clemson was comparable. I mean, with the exception of the loss against Pittsburgh by 1 point, Clemson had to beat NC State by an overtime. But other than that, they pretty much took care of business all season long, including wins over Louisville, Florida State, obviously Virginia Tech in the championship game. And all three of those teams, Louisville, Florida State, Virginia Tech, at times of the season looked better. Would have been, I think, the second best team in the SEC. At times, especially as you got near the end of the season. So, X's and O's. If you think about last year's game, right? It was an onside kick, a perfectly executed onside kick that turned the turned the tie for Alabama, and they went on to win, and to hold off Clemson. This game, it should look the same, but we haven't had a close game yet in the playoffs. And actually, historically, eight games. We've had eight games. No, is it eight games now? Yeah, we've had eight games in the playoff era, and, six of them were blowouts. Five or six blowouts. So we haven't had a whole lot of compelling matchups.
We don't have a perfect formula yet, so that's still working. We got 3.5 minutes left in the show today. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and all social media at To The Half. You can hear all podcast versions of this show, the Tuesday show, Wednesday shows, any of our shows, over on thechtonsports.com on the listen link in the left hand corner. Now Clemson, they're coming in. I think they're, Watson's a year wiser. He's seen this team. He came so close before. It was a special teams play that really took him, that something out of his control. I don't know if he comes with a chip on his shoulder. He has been prone to making some mistakes. He can't turn the ball over this game with an Alabama defense that is lead the nation in scoring. But he has Mike Williams there that has just been much more of a standout. It's probably going to be one of the top wide receiver to go in the NFL draft. So it's going to be interesting. I talked with Tony Elliott And he said that there's no one little thing you can do. You have to pay really good up along the line, and you have to have other people just really step up and make plays. Because, you know, you try to find some shorter plays, some slants, some stuff just to keep moving the football, some higher percentage plays just to keep moving it. But the big difference that they've seen in the Alabama has been their secondary. I believe it's Harris's name, Harrison, the safety. He's huge. For a safety. He's big for a safety. He's quick, and they've been putting him in a lot of dime packages, so they're able to have, you know, like five corners on the field at one time. So that's huge for coverage. But I think that we should see a pretty similar game.
And I'll say two things here. I know we've run out of time, but say a couple of quick things. Number one is field position in this game is going to be critical, and it isn't always that critical in college football because offenses move so easily, but these are two very good defenses. And obviously the turnovers, they're always a big factor. But the second thing I think is just time of possession, because Alabama can wear you down on both sides of the ball, probably more so than Clemson can. If Clemson can get some decent field position, maintain possession, keep Alabama's defense on the field, keep Clemson's defense off the field, I think that's going to have a big impact. Last year turned into a shootout, and Alabama almost lost it. I think Alabama loses the shootout this year. I absolutely think if this thing gets into a track meet and that Alabama defense gets winded and Clemson starts getting behind them, I see that as a big plus for Clemson. However, if Alabama controls line of scrimmage, controls the ball, you know, sustains a couple of 8-minute drives, you know, I think then it flips. It flips back to Alabama because that's their style of play. So I'm really excited to see the ball game, and I'm excited to talk about the outcome afterwards too.
At 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN, whatever your local ESPN stations are, we're going to be signing off here. Go over to Kev Crest. sports.blogspot.com and the CHT on sports.com to check out all the content that we have up on our sites. Kevin does a great job of giving some very unique and different perspectives on the world of sports, and I appreciate him taking his time to come on the show and being a syndicated contributor to the website as well. So check out that, and go over to Amazon, buy the books, the P.K. Frazier novels. I mean, he's working on the fourth one now. The first three are there, so you can just go up there, buy them all at one time. If you have Prime, they'll be to you in a couple of days. So be sure to go check them out. And on Twitter at Kevin Crest. Anything else I missed there?
No, you didn't. Thank you, Matthew. That's Kevin Crest with a K, by the way. That's the
Crest with a K.
You can also just Google Kevin Crest, and all that stuff will come up too. So it makes it easy for you. So, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you and I will be texting back and forth during the game, Matthew.
Oh, absolutely. All right, that'll do it here today on To the Half. I'm Matthew Long, and we're signing out for today. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll give you a post game, my breakdown of what happened in the game, why they lost or why they won. Well, more until tomorrow. Stay tuned. Be ready to see it here right on YouTube Live. Catch it over on SoundCloud, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, just about anywhere you can think of to listen to the show or watch the show. We're there, trying to be there. Here in the next couple of weeks, we should be on iHeartRadio app. So be sure to look for us there too. I'm out.